What I improved on is my French. So I had mandatory French courses. I jumped into Baidu already in terms of French.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, thank you.
Welcome to the third season of Altitude, the podcast from the faculties of the Catholic University of Lille that focuses on the journey of its old students. My name is Ismaël Othmani, and I am a student in journalism at the Faculty of Art and Social Sciences. And today, I will be exchanging with Raji Nicole Aquino. His journey starts in 2020, when he decides to join the European School of Political and Social Sciences for a master's degree in global and European politics. From his memories of ESPO to his newfound passion for teaching, welcome to the fifth episode of the third season of Altitude. Hello, Raji. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, thank you for joining us for this very special episode of Altitude, because today we'll be discussing in English, which is a very first in the series. And before starting our chat, we always start with our guest's resume. So let's review a couple of your achievements. And if I make any mistakes, do not hesitate to correct me, of course.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
So, Raji, you have been involved in a various United Nations program focusing on climate change and youth empowerment. You also represented UNESCO during the United Nations Climate Change Conference, also known as the COP21, last November 2015 in Paris, France. Furthermore, you were also the first ever recipient of the ASEAN, if I say it correctly, Corporate Sustainability, the Youth Impact Award given by the ECC International. So a lot of achievements that led you to join in 2020 with French students called ESPOL. But of course, the ESPOL means the European School of Political and Social Sciences, to do a master's degree in global and European politics. And you graduated in 2022. Mm-hmm. So first question that comes to mind, obviously, even though it hasn't been this long, what memories did you keep from your 2 years in the European School of Political and Social Sciences?
All right. Thank you, Ismaël. I really enjoyed my time with ESPOL. Most probably, it's also a lot of eye-opening experience for me. One is living alone in a foreign country. So it really struck me the most. But you know what? It really helped me adjust pretty well by, you know, hanging out with my classmates. And at the same time, we have a lot of nationalities present during our batch. So it really stopped me from being homesick. Plus the different support from the student affairs section. ESPOL, like for example with Madame Baron, and it was really, really nice because it helped me overcome these kinds of homesickness and at the same time adjust pretty well in my life here in the north of France.
It's very important, and we will be talking again about, you know, everything that you did abroad, and it's a very interesting part of your journey, and we'll have the occasion to talk about it a little bit later. But let's just come back with those 2 years, and it seems as today, after those 2 years that you spend in ESPOL, that you have many roles, you know, one of them being a consultant in communications and external relations, but also a professor in political science and law. So can you explain to us what you do in those different roles?
Since I started doing my master's at ESPOL, I also did some part-time teaching. So I teach at Colegio de San Juan de Letran. It's a university in the Philippines where I teach college students in terms of political science and law. So I teach pre-law students in terms of different topics ranging from international law, foreign policy, and different social sciences courses. So I do it for part-time, as a part-time work. And at the same time, I think it's not really as a work for me because I really see it as a passion. I probably see teaching as a passion, let's say, work for me. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I do consultancy where I help organizations in terms of external relations. So connecting them with institutions, either in public-private partnership and doing these kinds of matters to connect the advocacy of the organization two different entities, like foundations and private entities. So that's what I do.
Okay, it's very interesting that you're talking about law, because it gives us a perfect transition to the next question. Because speaking of that, the master in global and European politics you graduated from is known for having various domains, from law, animation, exactly, and communication to even international relations. So mm-hmm. even though you spoke about it just a little bit earlier, but did those many domains help you in your work today?
Exactly. So I find a lot of courses really, really interesting during my time as a global and European politics student. Mm-hmm. So one is probably as well in terms of global governance course with Professor Besancenot. She was really, really nice in terms of introducing us to the concept of global governance. And I appreciated that much because I was able to appreciate more the system that we have in the INGO or in the so-called international stage, let's say, mm-hmm. In different international community. So this is probably why I also gained more traction in working with international organizations and providing more of like a systematized manner of implementation and planning of programs. Because prior to that, I had more of implementation, like I help implementing different projects. Mm-hmm. But through this one, I probably got a more in-depth theoretical aspect on how should we actually strategically manage these kinds of matters. So yeah, I'm being more of like, how do you call that? The terminology, I'm sorry for that one. But yeah, and another one is the law. Yeah. I really appreciate the public international law course. Mm-hmm. Though it was for me it was only an optional course. No, it's an elective course for me.
Okay.
But I really appreciate it because I sooner or later I'll be also plan to pursue law. I plan to take up international political law as well in the future, since I also graduated with a pre-law program. So that's why I find it really, really interesting in terms of different provisions of the international public law. Okay. So yeah, I really appreciate all these courses.
So you do picture yourself in the long term actually working in a more law-oriented field?
Yes, I think it's more of like strategy and policy, yeah.
And speaking of, you know, the idea of pursuing something in the long term, let's talk about those students that are starting in the short term. And for those students listening, judging by the experience you had in those 2 years, would you say that in order to join a place and an establishment like ESPO, you know, a school like the European School of Political and Social Sciences, would you say that it is essential to have a fluent English?
I would say that it is recommended, really. I would say it's required to have a fluent English in terms of pursuing the program at ESPOL. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, ESPOL has different mandatory and optional language courses that could easily help you adapt. So for me, for example, since I think my English is okay. Mm-hmm. What I improved on is my French. So I had mandatory French courses, and at the same time was able to also sign up to optional courses, which I think I signed up for French, and sometimes I think there's one semester I signed up for Spanish. So yeah, it's for you to decide as well.
So it's kind of reassuring because it doesn't mean that you have to be fluent in French or English. Even if you have some sort of difficulty in either of those languages, they can actually try to improve it. And you, at the end of the day, you're actually going to be better at the language. So it's a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it can help you on the long term, and it helps you. So you said for French, you, for example, it helps you to develop your French.
Exactly. So imagine from zero,
yeah.
knowledge of French. I had this assessment actually yesterday,
yeah,
when I jumped into B2 already in terms
okay.
of French.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's a big jump. It is a big jump.
So I was like, I'm really happy about that. So of course, it contributed to how I improved.
And, you know, speaking of this multicultural respect, I mean, you traveled a lot. It is obvious. I mean, from your origins in the Philippines and in Manila, if I'm saying it correctly, mm-hmm. And to studying in California even for a full year. Do you consider that the idea of having this desire to discover the world could be a real strength for a student?
I do believe in that. It all started way back 2015, when I participated in a short course program in the US, and it really changed me a lot, really wanting me to travel more. But you know what? Once you travel every time, it's not really for leisure. Mm-hmm. Like when you try to appreciate the culture, I think I have this course in European culture at ESPO. Like it's more of like when you travel, when you participate in a particular program outside your home country, you tend to learn more about the country and you turn to become more open about the world. And it's really important as a student or as a future professional. It's really, really essential, I must say.
And where, in terms of differences in the way of teaching or maybe in the ways of learning from every country and every place you studied in and you traveled to, what were the biggest shocks, the biggest differences you discovered between, I don't know, France or America or in the Philippines, for example?
I would probably focus on the strengths. I very much appreciate how in France the professors are very lenient yet wanted us to immerse ourselves into the topic, not just theoretically. So what I like about during my time at ESPO is the hybrid kind of setup, in a way that we were taught in terms of the theories, but also we were taught about how we're going to apply these theories, how are these theories being applied to the different institutions, to the different European institutions. So it's really essential because it gives us a bird's eye view of, oh, okay, so these theories are really being applied. So these concepts about, let's say, different matters about European institutions, are being applied in this kind of manner, for example, through these kinds of, let's say, case studies and, let's say, invited speakers or experts who are really doing it in the field.
Yeah, I mean, and you, the term you're using of having a bird's eye view is very interesting, I think, because it's true that I think that the idea of seeing this many places and so many profiles of teaching could actually really influence the way you see education as a whole. Exactly. In the end of the, that's very interesting. And speaking, you know, of this idea of seeing other people, when you were in Espoo, have you met any people like you, you know, that came from different parts of the world, that traveled a lot, that discovered the world? Were there, you know, profiles that were like you?
Yeah, definitely. So I was able to, well, two of my closest friends are actually international. So one is from the US and one is from Korea. Okay. And they're really awesome people who've really, you know, really immersed themselves also in a different, like different countries. For example, one of my friends who's an American also teaches prior to studying at ESPO, teaches in Korea. So like from an American perspective, he now also have this Asian perspective. And you know, once we talk about things, about culture, etc., we connect. And I guess that's how culture is very important, and understanding the culture rather is really important, because that's the manner how you'll be able to connect to other people despite the language difference, despite the different perspectives that you have as individuals.
It's very interesting because you have some places where, you know, the idea of having a lot of cultures in the same class or in the same promo is not usually something that is unifying, not in terms where it is conflicted, but just in terms where, you know, people don't mix together or people don't try to communicate together. But what you're trying to say with ESPO is that you felt like having those different cultures made you kind of grow up as a person and made you mature when you realized how many views you can have on the world. And that's very interesting. So did you think that it actually helped you grow as a person?
Exactly. So I would be very honest. As a Filipino, you have these preconceptions about different nationalities. But after you mix with them, you dwell with them, you eat together with them, you study with them, you find ways on how you also understand that, oh, we have the same characteristics, we have the same qualities, but we just have different manners of doing it. We just have different, let's say, interpretations. But we have the same goal. We have the same objective to do good, to become successful in our own respective fields, and out actually to support different communities that we wanted to pursue as well.
Yeah, it's very interesting to have the same, perhaps not the same, but I mean a kind of global end goal, but mm-hmm. having such different type of places where you started, and it gives you a more in-depth perspective of how you're going to live your studies and how you're going to pursue your studies. So it's a very interesting thing. And talking about passioning and talking about being passionate, because you're a very passionate person. Today you're also a professor, and you talked about it just earlier. Are there some ways of teaching from ESPOL, from the teachers you had in ESPOL, that you picked on and that help you teach today?
Yeah, definitely. I would say, one of my professors during my first year was Professor Sophie Besanceno. Mm-hmm. She taught us the course Global Governance. I'm really, really interested in how she actually brought us the concepts, yet let us experience the world outside the classroom. So by exploring different, opportunities, and at the same time, here is what happened in the field.
Mm.
So that's what I really appreciated during our time. And this is actually what I adapt to my students right now. I also try to invite now experts, because, what I learn about as a professor is that you also sometimes, it's important for you to open the eyes of your students in different teaching methodologies, because probably the teaching style in the Philippines is really, really different in terms of the teaching style in France. And therefore, I learned now that, it's also important for others. For example, you inviting other people who have more expertise in that particular field to share their experiences to your students, because from there they start to opening up.
Okay.
I would say it's more opening up how broad the study is and how big the world is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because ESPOL being obviously a partner of the Catholic University of Lille, but in general, there are many other schools with the Catholic University of Lille that have, what you're talking about, the idea of bringing experts to speak with students. And it's interesting that that's one of the main things you picked on and you're using. Is it in some sort of way because you know that bringing these experts can inspire students?
Yes, it's to be honest, it's more than just inspiring the students, mm-hmm. because I find it providing them a fundamental stage. Mm-hmm. It's like a stepping stone for them to get out of their comfort zone, because most of the students are, I find most of the students lately just sticking into their classes, sticking to their courses. Mm-hmm. But once they find these opportunities that, hey, it's also possible for me to look into these matters, to get out of this, this comfort zone that I'm currently in, they realize tons of things. There's one student who also sent me a message after inviting, I think, two of my classmates and also one expert from ESPOL. She messaged me and said, "Sir, I am so thankful that you've sent me, or you've let us experience having a lecture with Sir or Ma'am, this speaker, because right now, I graduated because of course I've been teaching for almost 3 years. Yes. So like some are already graduated, and one actually found a job in foreign policy. And sir, it's because of your passion in terms of sharing us this knowledge, I was able to find also what I want in serving or in being a foreign service officer in the future." So these moments really, I could say, you cannot compare it to anything else.
Yes, and talking about those experiences, if I'm not mistaken, I think you did an internship actually at the Catholic University of Lille, right?
I did.
Yeah, in international relationships.
Exactly. So I'm well, my thesis advisor can really attest to that, Professor Glenn Cross. I'm really into education, in the field of education, particularly international comparative education. At one point, I wanted to do a PhD in international comparative education.
Okay,
actually.
Wow. Okay.
And that's why I decided to pursue my internship at the International Relations Department, because I wanted to really see how different curriculums, you know, can be similar and can be related to one another. Wherein during my time as an intern, we were able to cater different students from Latin America, from Asia, and from Europe, of course. So particularly, of course, in North America as well. So we were able to immerse ourselves enough to the students and know what they need in terms of international education, how international education actually changed their lives, and how international education can actually open up more opportunities for them being future professionals. So these are the things I'm really, really passionate about as well.
Yeah, definitely. We can see the passion. And talking about this international education, in many ways, it's pretty impressive, because in a young age, you have already had a contact with education in three different continents. But do you have an end goal? Maybe is there a place eventually, in maybe 5 years or 10 years, where you would like to teach, a place you haven't seen yet, where you would like to you know, use this passion you have to teach, but somewhere you haven't done it yet?
Well, to teach, I'm not so sure where, because it's not, for me, it's not really the university, but it's really about the students, the experience with the students. But I would say my end goal would probably be, again, working with the United Nations specialized agency, particularly with UNESCO, who also handles the education sector. Because for me, getting more knowledge from the grassroots level and then in terms of concepts and theories will enable me to effectively and probably efficiently to implement policies, and at the same time progress, or let's say plan, concretize the concepts that I've learned in the field of education, and later on implement strategies that can effectively change lives regardless of the continent that they belong to.
Definitely. And I think that was also kind of the idea of my question, because obviously the passion you have is not just for the place. When I said a place, maybe I was more asking, do you have a continent maybe, or a country you didn't visit that you would like to teach in? Or is it really just about the connection with the students?
To be honest, I like the question. there's one continent, of course. I've never been to Africa.
Okay.
And I'm very much curious about the methodologies, the effective methodologies that can be implemented to the communities in Africa, in the continent of Africa, in general, because of course Africa is has different regions as well, which means that different approaches should also be implemented. I'm very curious about that. To be honest, I'm very curious in general the different strategies needed in order to facilitate effective learning patterns to the students. So this is something that I'm curious about, and probably working with a United Nations specialized agency, either in the headquarters or in a regional office, would help me learn more about it.
And talking about those students, for the students that would like to one day join this master, the one you did, the master in global and European politics, or any other master actually from the European School of Political and Social Sciences, as well, to make it a bit easier, would you have any advice for them?
I would say probably number one is be open. Once you go to ESPOL and partake in for example, in a master program, not just in GEP, or we call it GEP, Global and European Politics, you need to be open, because there will be different approaches, might be different from what you believed in, what you actually been doing all this time in your country. You need to be open, especially with also handling the courses, and at the same time hanging out with your classmates, because from there on you'll be able to absorb. So you could enter with an empty cup. I think that's the best term for that, is to enter in an empty cup, so that you'll be open enough to absorb things that might be or will be beneficial as you become, you know, a future professional in that particular field. One last one is I would say that the program offers you a multifaceted approach in handling different topics in terms of global governance, law, foreign policy, in Europe, in different parts of the world. And it's up to you to choose which would you use, which you would appreciate more, and which you would then apply to your designated career as a professional.
I think when you're listening to everything you're saying, it feels like the final idea is that everything you did and everything you did at ESPOL is eventually learning from others and not just being the professors, but being the students, the people you met, the experts. I think, would you say that the final idea is learning from others?
Yeah, I would say that one because, as I mentioned a while ago, the teaching style in different countries are different. And what I appreciate so much here in France is that you don't see yourselves as a form of competition. In your master's program, you are part of a team. You are part of a team who would want to succeed together. And that's what I see during my time at ESPOL, and that's, I guess, what I also apply now. In my field.
That's extremely interesting. Thank you very much for this very interesting podcast. Thank you for joining us today, Raji. It was a very, very nice discussion.
Thank you, Ismail. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the invitation.
And thank you for listening. I wish you a very nice day, and we'll see you very soon on Altitude.